G'day, listeners. Woz here, Tradies Business Show. Got a joke for you today, something different. What kind of car does an auto electrician drive? A Volkswagen.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell. Talking business ownership, the nuts and bolts, and everything in between.
Yes, welcome back to the Tradies Business Show. Apologies for my terrible dad joke then, but just trying something different, you know. You got to spice it up a bit. Maybe go hit me on the Facebook page and tell me what you thought. I actually thought it was pretty funny. Anyway, it does relate to today's episode, which is another in my Where Are They Now series. So I've gone back through the back catalogue of interviews that I've done, especially the real tradie stories that we've done over the time, and getting back in touch with some of those guests and finding out, literally, where are they now? Today's guest appeared way back in September 2015 in episode 88, where we spoke to Andrew James from Midas, which is a mechanical franchise here in Australia. Andrew spoke about that business. We sort of did a bit of a hot seat episode where we grilled him a little bit. And we also did a real tradie story where he talked about what was going on in their business. Fast forward 2 years, they no longer have that business. But they still have one of the other ones that they had. And a lot's changed since then. I think you're going to get a lot out of today's episode. We cover some territory. We talk about working with your partner. We talk about digital marketing, how to find good staff, business awards and whether they're worth entering, what sort of things you should be measuring in your business. And we even get a little bit competitive between Andrew and Bryony, talk about, how big theirs is. So have a listen to today's episode. I think you're going to love it. And stick around to the end of today and I'll share some details with you about something very cool that came across my desk recently. So let's jump in. Joining me today on the Tradies Business Show is a past guest or guests. We've actually got both partners, life and business partners, back for one of my Where Are They Now episodes. We've got Andrew and Bryony from Accelerate Auto Electrics back on the show. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
So last time we spoke to you on the Tradies Business Show was back in September 2015, and that was just Andrew, and it was a bit of a double episode where it was a bit of a hot seat and a real tradie story, and I think we kind of gave you a bit of a hard time, mate. If listeners want to go back and check that one out before you listen to the rest of this, jump over to episode 88 back in September 2015. You know, it's been a couple of years now since we spoke on the show, and there's been a few changes for you guys. So I don't know who the nominated spokesperson is today. I've got a funny feeling I know who it might be. But do you guys want to talk about the last couple of years and maybe where you've come from to where you are today and what's going on for you?
Andrew's madly pointing at me.
We're just nominated.
Yeah.
I can't even remember back to 2015, Warwick, to be honest. But basically, we had Midas back then, so we were running two businesses, Midas Maroochydore, which was a franchise, and we also had Accelerate Auto Electrics in the workshop next to it, which we started now 9 years ago. So since then, we have sold the business, Midas, and we currently operate Accelerate. We've moved to a new premises. We probably have a few more staff. I'm not too sure on the exact numbers. And we've, you know, dramatically increased sales, gross profit, net profit for Accelerate sort of thing. So in a nutshell, kind of where we are in business.
And would you guys say that selling off Midas, so that was you had, and just for the listeners' benefit, you had a mechanical workshop under the Midas franchise and you had your own independent auto electrical workshop next door. So you're essentially running two businesses at the same time. How important was selling Midas in, as you said, Bryony, you know, revenue's up, profits are up, all that sort of stuff. You've experienced a lot of growth with the current business. How important was selling off Midas?
For me, a lot. It just being able to focus on one thing. While they were both in the growth stage, if we were trying to grow both of them, it just made it a lot easier having one thing to focus on. I definitely don't regret having the Midas franchise, but having one business is a lot easier than two.
Because I guess there's some thinking that if you can run one business, you can run two, and there's probably business coaches even smarter than me running around saying that. How did you find the experience?
I think running two would be easy, but I think just having you trying to grow as quickly as you can, it's just being able to focus on one, it's definitely an advantage. So that's probably once, you know, obviously once we get this one to a point, then we do have a vision of where we're going to go from there. But I feel for us, while you're trying to grow as hard as you can, it's good to be able to focus on it.
Yeah.
I think for me, both of the businesses were at, even though Accelerate had been at for a longer period of time, both of them were at a similar point in that they needed to be run under management or under a manager, and trying to get managers in both those businesses that worked and train them to up to the level at the same time was probably a really hard thing for us. In hindsight, you know, trying to micromanage to an extent two people, trying to, you know, crack down on two people if they're not meeting targets and that sort of thing was, I think, probably our biggest time sucker and our biggest pain point and our biggest reason for arguments between staff and us as well. So, yeah.
And so how has that changed, or has that changed in the time since you sold Midas, which has been about, how long now since you sold that, about a year?
Yeah, about 14 months,
September, 13
months. So how has it changed? We have, for Accelerate, at a similar time as we sold Midas, we found a fantastic manager for Accelerate. So I think that's made a huge difference. Having the right person in that job is a huge difference. It's someone that's experienced in the trade, someone that's confident to talk to customers, and, you know, for a tradesman to come off the tools and to be comfortable selling is a big thing as well. So he sort of ticks all those boxes for us. So that's probably been the biggest impact, I guess, to make the transition a little bit easier. And we've also, I guess, moved locations as well. So that's made a huge thing. Whereas, you know, not owning this anymore and being right next door to them, there was still, I guess, some confusion with some of our trade customers who were mechanics as well, you know, being still right next door to them. I think moving has really opened up the door to take on more mechanical work sort of expand that bit more into a better workshop as well.
Yeah, cool. Now, you guys have grown the business quite substantially, and I want to talk about your recent entry into the business awards in your area. So for the listeners' benefit again, Andrew and Bryony are on the beautiful Sunshine Coast, and they are clients of mine as well, Business Wingman clients. So we've been working together for a while, hopefully still after today's episode. But but that growth, what have been the key components of that? Obviously getting rid of one of your businesses that was sort of drawing your focus away from, I guess, your main business. But what have been some of the keys to growing Accelerate Auto Electrics?
Our staff are our number one thing. We really try and focus on nurturing them and keeping them. So whether that be, you know, taking on a marketing manager is her title. She's really experienced in digital marketing. So she came in May this year. So that's paid a huge impact in our growth in the last sort of 6 months. Prior to that, I mean, year on year, it's been fairly consistently up. I'm trying to think what else. Just having the right stuff, finding technicians. For a year there, we were, our growth is usually like 40 to 50% up year on year. But there was a period there, it was only 10%, and we just literally could not get auto electricians. And so we could not take any more work. We were actually turning away work. So having the availability of staff and being able to find staff, like that was really loud, has helped in the growth as well in recent years.
I want to ask Andrew about the staff side of things, because that's probably fairly typical for a lot of tradies. Is you know, the husband's been on the tools, or the you know, the man's been on the tools. The better half is sort of the driver in the back, with finance and probably marketing and administration, and so. You know, the guys end up being the ones trying to find more tradespeople to work with them. You've got a pretty good team now, and you guys are pretty happy with the team that you've got on board. Andrew, how do you go about attracting the right people, or even finding the right people?
Yeah, it's really hard. I don't know. You can just do the Facebook thing. I think what's helping us now is where the best workshop to work in, just location, just the actual workshop, it's nice and breezy, all that. We get the cool work because we are the largest auto electrician. So I think it's just grown in itself as well now. It's sort of, you know, we used to get people to town, and I had a one-on-one with one of my guys this morning, and we were just talking about, you know, how he arrived in town, and I was his first call kind of thing. And then he went around and looked at the other shops and sort of instantly came here. Mm. And I think as we've grown, it's actually made it just with our workplace, with our culture, and with the vibe, I guess, to use it, we were in the place. It's getting easier to attract more staff because they sort of arrive. I think everybody wants to move to the coast. They get to the coast, and I guess there's an attractive job for them. Most of the people, I guess, who move here, you've seen them move here for lifestyle, not money. And I hope this workplace sort of improves on that, and it seems to be working for us now.
Yeah, so basically you're becoming an employer of choice for employees.
It's definitely starting to feel that way, definitely.
And would you say that's – I'm putting words in your mouth here, obviously, but how closely related is that to – the work you do on attracting customers?
Yeah, I guess it's the same. I think that definitely our social footprint now is quite large. Bryony works heavily on that, and Tony, the marketing girl. And so I think, yeah, again, that helps as well. When people come to town, pretty much they walk in the door and they see me by face and know my name, I guess, because they've seen us on some sort of social media or thing. So, yeah. It's all part of it, I assume. You attract customers, you attract staff. It's all the same game, really.
Yeah, it's absolutely right, and it's something that a lot of trade businesses, I think, miss the opportunity on, is building a business that people want to work for, as well as a business that customers want to spend money with, and it makes their job a lot easier on the recruitment side of things.
Yeah.
So marketing has been a big part of your growth, obviously, and we've mentioned Bryony and your marketing and, you know, social footprint, and you've now got a full-time marketing person on board, which is a big step for any business, really, but for a trade business, it's pretty uncommon. Talk to me about the journey to get to that stage, or perhaps the... you know, going from you guys doing it yourself and sort of outsourcing bits and pieces to now where you have a full-time person and, you know, you're doing video and YouTube and social campaigns and, you know, some pretty high-level stuff with your marketing.
I'm just thinking back to when I sent our first newsletter and you made me do it, and I had it sitting there drafted for how many weeks sitting there. I actually sent it, and I'm pretty sure someone replied straight back to it. And I was like, hell yeah. And they were a little virtual high five. I was pretty happy. So we've come a long way since then. How's it evolved? We've done it for, you know, 8.5 years ourselves. So I'm a bookkeeper slash accountant person by what I've done previously and studied. So changing into someone that, you know, writes and does like digit design and that sort of stuff has been pretty hard. Yeah, so I think for us, you know, the first thing when we did our Sunshine Coast Business Awards was something that I looked at is we didn't even have a website when we started the business. Andrew just went out and repped himself and sold himself. And so then when we started to get employees, we kind of realized that that was, unfortunately, for the volume of work we needed, not quite sustainable to have Andrew out there repping all the time. And so we started, you know, then with a website. In recent years, taken on Google advertising through someone. We've had a lot of success with Facebook advertising. We had help with that for a period of time as well before Tony, digital person now, is here. And a lot of success with videos and that sort of thing as well. So it has really evolved. We still do some traditional print media in the low price point that seems to work. And it's a lot of trial and error, a lot of error. It's just some positioning sometimes. So, yeah.
So there's really, yeah, there's no magic formula, Bryony.
No. Keep trying is my magic formula.
Yeah. Now, I just want to dig into that because I have the opportunity with you guys. I guess I can get a bit more detailed with some of these things because I do know your business quite well and we've been working together for a little while now. How important is measuring stuff?
For me, very important. For Andrew, it's growing on the important scale.
She's dropped you in it, mate.
It depends on what I'm measuring.
We're talking business stuff here, guys.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely, it's very important.
But let's expand on that a bit. So,
might be good.
What sort of things are you guys measuring in your business? Just give us an idea.
So daily we look at productivity, so the hours of stuff we've worked versus the hours that they've charged out for the previous day, the week, the month. We also look at the weekly sales versus target sales, monthly, the comparison of monthly to last year. And we've got separate sort of, we call it a separate section of the business, which is battery. So we look at quantities of units sold and average dollar sales. Then weekly we look at, I can't even remember what's on that report, average dollar sales, gross fee, target, GP, number of leads, number of quotes, or number of leads converted to quotes, number of quotes converted to jobs, number of jobs and average dollar sale weekly and monthly. Well, for me, weekly, I look at the profit, the net profit of the business and monthly budget we actually. And then also monthly, we look at all of our advertising stats now that we have Tony on board. We didn't do that 6 months ago. And that will include number of leads in, where they've come from versus the dollars we've spent on that. It's the cost of acquisition, all sorts of things within that.
And it's...
We look at
that. Yeah.
We get bombarded, but it's good.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's a lot of stuff to look at, and I know we go through a lot of figures in our sessions together. How do you... Andrew?
Just to point out to everybody, I get a simplified report.
Tell us more about that, mate, because I think it's a good point that you raise.
I get most of what Bryony says, but it's definitely I get just a basic one that comes through to me every day, just a critical driver sheet that's mainly productivity of the boys, our sole total dollar sale, and it also shows our year versus last year. The total sales is on the wall for all the staff to see. And the individual's productivity is on the wall for everybody to see. So I guess the more involved you are, the more you see, but everybody here, this is probably more the point I'm making, has some aspect of what's going on in the figures of the business. But Bryony definitely a more detailed report than me. I couldn't understand what she
said. We actually look at the same reports. It's just the first report, the first page is graphs and the second page is numbers. Andrew goes, and Warwick, you go to the graph, I think, and I go to the numbers. It's just a way.
It's amazing.
Our brain is wired. But we do the same much.
It is a bit of we laugh about it, but guys and girls are apparently built differently, and there's no point, you know, poring over numbers that either don't make sense or aren't going to help you do what you do better. And it's a question I want to ask is, how does all of that stuff actually help you? Stunned silence.
I think, you know, looking at our sales being up year on year, month on month, gives us a little high five as business owners, sort of thing, on our computer screens every day. And it's usually sort of in our inbox by like 10, 11 kind of thing. So if you're having a rough day or whatever's going on, having for Andrew and our manager, Chris, having a graph with sales sort of thing versus target, in front of them, they can see that, you know, if they're slightly behind for the month or slightly up for the month kind of thing, and it just gives them that little bit of something to aim for. For me, it just kind of gives you a good feeling as a business owner, or if we're lagging behind, it's like, right, in our sales meeting we have weekly, what are we going to do? Are we going to change some marketing this week or next week? What have we got planned so this doesn't happen in 2 months' time? And that sort of thing. It gives us a bit of perspective and planning.
Mm. And how about you, Andrew? How does it help you run the business and make decisions?
Yeah, I'm very reactive rather than proactive. It's probably the yin and the yang sitting in the room. So it definitely does change business. It'll change your mindset about how you react to things. I'm total, if I look out there and I feel that there's not enough cars, then that's all that matters to me. Whereas now I can sort of, you know, before I start throwing down the hammer saying, let's do some marketing today, make it happen, put something on Facebook,
And in our sales meeting yesterday, I'm like, so do we need to start this advertising today? And he goes, no, actually, we don't.
Yeah, I actually then sat down with a problem. I was looking at where it was for the month, look at what had actually gone out that day and so on, and realised that I probably would be wasting my money because we'd get work that we didn't want. That we couldn't do is a bit of what I put in mind. It's definitely a change for me. But it's hard because I went from one guy in a van that, you know, if you had no jobs booked in, you'd ring all your trade customers and say, what do you got for me today? And to this different animal where I can't really do that now. I need 20 to 30 cars a day. So I more need to rely on everything that we do and everything that we've done, bringing the cars in, which does, but it's like, personally, I'm probably more in control of it, but personally, at the moment by moment, the feeling is you're in less control.
I was going to say, I think a great example for us of the planning and how we've changed as business owners and a business is July is typically, is it July that we did it? I don't remember. The slow month for us, sales are probably half of what they would be in January or February. We generally make a loss for the month, or not generally, we've always made a loss for the month. And so this year you told us that we're not to go into the mindset of it's always slow, we're just slow. And so we came up with a different campaign and we threw it out there on Facebook and it worked really well. I think we broke even. We probably made a few $1,000 profit in the month, which is a huge change from, you know, like a 10 grand loss or something like that. Mm. So just really having that foresight of every July, that's our slow month, what are we going to do sort of thing, and planning for it. We planned a few months out what we were going to do. We did campaigns up and that sort of thing. It made a huge, huge difference to our business sort of thing to be, you know, turn the profit around that much.
Yeah, yeah, because then you don't spend 3 months making up for the hole that got created in winter.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just want to wind back a little bit to something Andrew touched on, and it's applicable to both of you, is that personal growth. You know, you started out as, well, you guys weren't working together. Bryony, you mentioned you had a bookkeeping background. You had your own bookkeeping business. Andrew was literally a man in a van 8 years ago when you kicked off. And now you're running the largest auto electrical business on the Sunshine Coast. What have you each needed to do, you know, work on personally? How have you had to change? What struggles have you worked through individually to get to this point?
Everything, anything, you name it. so I think for us, I mean, I was always doing Andrew's accounts as such from day one. So we've always worked together, and prior to having this business, there was other businesses in Brisbane that we had the same sort of relationship with. So we kind of, in some way, have a bit of respect for the way each other works and a bit of prior knowledge of how each other works. But we were running the bookkeeping business and the auto electrical business, and we had our first child, and probably 6 months after that, for me, it just wasn't sustainable doing both. So I sold that, moved into this one. I think I was working 3 days a week at that sort of time frame, around a six-month-old. And then prior to having our second child, you came on in the business. So I don't know, how have we grown?
I think you should answer the question. Yeah, <sorry. laughs>
Well, what sort of things have you had to work on individually?
Communication between the two of us and between staff is probably
that's my biggest one.
The huge one, and that is still an ongoing struggle to this very second. For me, 2016 was a year of not doing everything myself. That was literally my goal. So we took on a bookkeeper. We took on a customer service girl. We took on a part-time or a contract marketing person at that point in time who was doing, I think, 5 or 10 hours a week. So that was a huge change for me, having to let go, I guess, a bit, and accept that not everything's going to be done to the standard that I want, but it's not being done by me, so it doesn't really matter, as long as it's at a decent standard. I'm trying to think what else. Micromanaging everyone. With Tony coming on, you know, one of my good friends said to me, are you going to cope with it not being what you want, sort of thing, or are you just going to hassle her? And I said, no, I'll stand back. And she's held me to that every day. Well, every time I see her, she asks me about it. Yeah, I'm not too sure what else. But everything, I mean, it's hard running, you know, working with someone 24/7 at home and at work. So all the usual sort of husband and wife struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Not married, I'm just running there.
And Andrew, you mentioned communication was a big one for you. What sort of areas have you done some work on in the last few years?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just here's my communication. I don't know. I always have found it. My whole career, I've never even worked in a big business. Worked with multiple people. Auto electricians generally are 1- and 2-man bands. So I've really, even to this day, the biggest environment I've ever worked in is this one. So it's. Yeah, it's been a challenge for me working with other people, having people work for me and trying to just keep all the – I want to use the word hierarchy. It's not what I mean, though. Just keep the boundaries and I guess trying to turn into a leader, and that requires communication. And just 90% of the time you expect people to just know what you want without saying it, and you get frustrated when you don't. And I guess that's my biggest thing, you know, still – the one-on-one things, one-on-one meetings, Bryony, you, everybody into me, which is perfect because they should be done, but it's something I struggle with because I'm just putting myself in that position of having to tell someone what I think about them and what I think of their behaviour is a challenge kind of thing for me.
Because you're not really a fan of confrontation and uncomfortable conversations, hey?
No.
So how do you...
He's a single, an only child. I figure explains that, whereas he sits down at the table with my family and goes, you guys all yell at each other, and I'm like, man, this is just conversation. It's just like, yeah.
I would way rather sit out the back of the pool by myself.
you make great company for yourself, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm a nice person to me.
So how do you deal with that, mate? Because, you know, it's something you and I have worked on together a bit, and I know there's been some challenging times in the last couple of years, but on a day-to-day basis, how do you actually make yourself do that stuff?
I don't know. It's my four-year-old's best favourite saying at the moment, which you know who got it from, is man up. And so I guess, yeah, you just got to do it. But by the same token, I have... And you've seen, you know, a couple of employees that I've put some effort into, I've got back tenfold what I've put in. So I guess that's the main thing, is just reminding yourself. I've sort of picked another student at the moment, we'll say, and working on that kind of thing. So, yeah, you just got to remind yourself of the benefits of what you put in. You'll definitely get more out.
And I have to say, and I'll give you both a bit of a plug, I've always been... pleased and encouraged with both of your willingness to take feedback and you know, seek new learning and try new ways of doing things. And for me, working with you, it's been that's been a critical part of you getting the results and achieving higher levels of success than before.
Thanks.
You may not feel that. You may not feel like you're good at doing that stuff, but are you guys hard on yourselves? Individually?
Yes.
Yes. I think we're hard on each other as well. Just saying.
Do you think there's a positive aspect to that as well?
Oh, there's no way. I don't know. The old saying of the woman behind the man. There's no way if I hadn't felt of being with somebody that I've, I don't know if it pushed or I wanted to achieve for. I really couldn't know which it was.
You're talking about yourself or us?
No, I'm talking about you. I think Bryony has high expectations of herself and everybody around her. That's fair. She'll take that. And so I guess that it's helped me push myself harder, trying to not live up to those expectations, but just, yeah, meet them, I guess.
So you're paying her a compliment by the sounds of it, mate.
Yeah, in a roundabout way. It's the community. It's a challenge. But I'm definitely hard on myself. I've never accepted enough. It's never been enough. So it's definitely helped.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I want to talk about your entrance into the business awards on the Sunshine Coast there. So that's the whole of the Sunshine Coast is, I think, what, 300,000 people in the Sunshine Coast region, whole bunch of businesses there, and you guys are actually finalists in this year's awards. You probably put together a bit of a different awards submission to what I suspect the judges might have seen previously. Talk me through that, because it ties back in with your marketing and I guess the way you look at promoting your business, not just to customers but to team members and I guess to the wider business community. So talk to me about your submission and why you think that's got you to the finalist stage.
I'm not too sure. Did you read our written one? Was it different?
Your focus in that, I think, was a little different. Yeah, well, a bit of both, yeah.
Yeah, so the written one, I started writing it like 4 months, or, you know, just when they came out sort of thing. And stopped. I did the first section and stopped and just put it in the too hard basket, and then decided, like, after they gave an extension, so it was already past the due date, about a day before, 2 days before the extension was due, I was like, right, I'm actually going to do this, and sat down and did it within that time frame. I'm not too sure if it's that different. I don't know. I have never read anyone else's, but I'll take that. They did say in an interview that I was one of the very few that went into figures outside of sales. And that's just me. I'm pretty much an open book. If anyone asks me anything, I'm happy to discuss it. And so then for that was led us to get nominated as finalists. For the finalists, you got the choice of doing a 30-minute interview or a 10-minute presentation, 20-minute interview. For me, I naturally opted for the presentation. And we decided to just go slightly out of the box. We do a lot of video marketing, so on YouTube and on Facebook, and we've got some good results with that. So we, my suggestion was to let's do a video for it, which we did. So it was about nine minutes, and it was basically the first minute was where we came from, so Andrew in a van visiting trade customers, to where we are now, which is was literally a shot of us, you know, at the front of our workshop with all the staff behind us and our vans, and then just kind of a walkthrough. So they had 5 or 6 questions in the initial application, and we kind of just covered off the first 3 or 4 of those, in, you know, a minute or two summary in the video. So it was, you know, the customer experience, the products, employees, team sort of thing in a video. So that was definitely, we didn't get told it was the only one, but they kind of implied that it was the only one they've seen.
She left out the bit where we rolled in with an iMac under one arm and a battery box with an inverter on under the other.
So. Yeah, you definitely showcased your business physically and with your presentation as well, you know, taking an inverter and a battery box in to power an iMac, which is pretty cool. So anybody that would like to buy one of those, you've set up a special landing page, I think, for those kits.
Certainly, I can
find
my Mac wherever you want.
And, you know, I say that tongue-in-cheek, and I'll come back to that whole, you know, landing page and digital marketing thing as we wrap up. But would you say the whole awards process, and you haven't won yet, but I think, Andrew, you reckon you guys are a shoe-in, yeah?
Whoa, dude, you can't put this to air until after it.
Interview process, and Andrew sat down and said, so let's start writing our acceptance speech.
I like the confidence.
It's the visualization.
You've taught him that much work.
Yep. If you can believe it, you can achieve it, somebody said, apparently. I don't know who quoted that, but anyway.
I know what Tony Robbins would be saying right now.
Yeah, exactly. But entering awards, there's a fair bit of work in it. You know, you guys put a video together. It was well put together. Obviously, you've got some experience in that already. There's a bit of work in writing the submission and figuring out what you're going to say. There was the time for the interview. Win, lose, or draw, would you say it's a worthwhile experience for you guys?
Andrew?
Oh, for me, it was like, well, just as you asked that question, so I don't get kicked under the table, Bryony did 99.9% of the work. In the video, my words were, and I'm Andrew James.
I did laugh when I saw that, mate.
My spoken bit. So really for me, it was fine. It was great. And it's nothing but 100% benefit. But, yeah, we should ask Bryony.
Well, what about the whole process, though?
Oh, yeah, it's been good. One thing that surprised me is that I've had a few other businesses that I'm involved with. Sort of their emails have come through, we're finalists, blah, 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 and all I want to send back is me too kind of thing. I know there's a plan downstairs that we're about to sort of use it and leverage off it. I don't think we have it yet, have we? No.
We've put it on Facebook.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's been interesting for me, I guess, seeing the calibre of the ones that have been finalists and me being in that circle, and that's been quite interesting for me, but I think we're about to start leveraging off it. We haven't yet. I'm glad we did it. Definitely.
Cool. Good answer, mate. How about your perspective, Brian?
It was a good process, yeah. It's like everyone says, is it makes you look at your business and your achievements and your wins and verbalise them and write them down, which as business owners we generally don't do. And look at, you know, all your figures and that sort of thing and see where you've come from and how, you know, where you are now. I think it's, you know, as a team, we had a bit of fun filming kind of thing, making everyone do a little bit. The whole team is, other than one, has come to the awards night with us. So, you know, I think it's good for all of us to sit down and realise that it's a big achievement kind of thing. For me, the submission was, I mean, coming from, you know, writing blogs and all of that sort of thing 6 months ago, I didn't find it too hard. Yeah, it was definitely time consuming. It was all up probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 hours spent on the video and the application sort of thing. So it is a big chunk out of the working week, especially, you know, I'm not here full time. So, yeah, but it's worth it, definitely.
Cool.
When we win, hey?
Yeah.
Well, we might have to do a follow-up episode after you win and get your thoughts and comments then. We won't bother talking to you if you don't win, though.
Yeah, cool.
Andrew will be too upset.
Really?
Hey, before we wrap up, I know you've donated a lot of time today. I know you guys are both very busy. I want to talk about your video marketing, especially as part of your social media and digital strategy. Maybe talk us through the genesis of that, you know, where it started, early lessons, and then, you know, how that's working for you now. And I guess a bit of advice too for people who might be thinking maybe it's something they could do or they'd like to do or they don't want to do it. Give us your insights, guys.
Sorry, was that specifically on digital marketing?
On the video aspect of what you do.
Yeah. So video started with me forcing Andrew to do it, and we had a girl at the time, wrote some scripts and that sort of thing for us. I think you've got to not want to do it, but you've got to see the benefits of doing it. Andrew definitely isn't a fan of it.
I don't love it. I'm not a fan of having a camera shoved in my face.
And so I guess it's resulted in me doing some of it as well. I can sort of say, you know, for Andrew writing the scripts, he knows it kind of thing, so he can wing it and talk a little bit and go, which is good in some ways because it's like a lot more natural on camera, whereas for me, I had to write the scripts word for word. I generally have to use a teleprompter or something like that. And so I think that's kind of hard in itself because there's not a lot of free movement, free speech and that sort of thing. So it's a bit of a balance. Research your topics. So do some keyword analysis on what people are searching for. So, you know, you type into Google. I'm trying to think what one of our videos is even called. Car air conditioning. So type for us, for example, type in car air conditioning into Google and see what the most common phrases are that come up, and that might give you some ideas for the video because really we use it in our marketing to our existing customers and to get new customers, but you also want to get more views based on random people watching it who might not even be anywhere within our physical location. So do some research on that. Look at other people's videos. I mean, definitely I've had other people's videos transcribed for me and, you know, I've read through it and got really good ideas from theirs and also thought of other things to change within it. I get feedback from manager, customer service advisor and Andrew, so the people that are on the front counter dealing with customers every day and ask, you know, what are the common questions we get asked every day kind of thing. And for me, and probably the comments that I do get back from people is I really dumb it down. And that's because I don't understand it. So Andrew will sit there and you go, you run this, and you run this wide of this. And I'm like, okay, sweet, but I don't understand what the hell that means. Can you explain it? And so I go to that level generally to explain it. Andrew, when talking to people, will assume that they know what a DC to DC charger is. And so he'll just say DC to DC charger. So I think, yeah, for me that's kind of worked as well, is really talk to them as though they've got no clue what they're talking about. We typically, in the beginning, we're doing it on our phone using iMovie within the iPhone and using the standard soundtracks within iMovie. So you can do it all from within your phone. So there's no, you know, technology barriers and that sort of thing. As we've had success with videos, we've kind of developed now to the point that we have someone that comes in and films some of the videos and edits them for us. But saying that, we also do a lot of our own stuff still, if it's job related, whereas some of the stuff that we pre-plan, the questions and that sort of thing, we have someone come in for. But give it a crack, it's worth it. Facebook advertising, paid advertising really loves video, even live video, have a go at that. I don't know what else to cover on.
Make sure the products you're advertising are the products you sell.
Oh, yeah. Andrew's definitely stitched me up a few times on information that's not correct, and getting all the comments back is quite lovely. And you know what? We had one video where we had, it's a video that we've had like 60,000 views on Facebook, and we had one, everyone was pretty good about it, and one person was like, it was storage solution ideas. So yes, we copied them from everyone else because that's the freaking point of the storage solution ideas. But anyway, and they kindly pointed that out in the comments. And I think just answer everything. We responded to them politely. And that's my kind of thing. We kind of like to respond to every comment that we get.
Well, it's certainly been impressive to see you guys pick that up and run with it. And I know Andrew used to love doing those videos, and I think you and I used to threaten him with violence if he didn't do one that week. But a really important question, who's currently winning the views race out of you two?
I honestly don't know the answer.
He pretends he doesn't know.
I don't.
That's because he's behind now.
Like Andrew's YouTube is definitely up there. There's a car air can, how to cool down your car quickly.
It's the dumbest video.
Is like there was a heat wave in the US and India. This is how into it we are. We looked into it and it went like through the roof with views. So he's definitely up there. My Facebook is the Jayco Storage, which is 60,000, takes it out. But saying that, because you scroll through Facebook, if it's in your Facebook feed, that is counted in the 60. Or as long as it's under 3 seconds, it's counted in that 60,000.
And I'd just like to, on that, I'd just like to pick up one of them's global, I think is the word, and one's just local.
We're not competitive.
No, not at all. But a quick serious point on that, how does all of that help your business?
Good question. Don't know. No.
To be honest, something strange came up this morning is a one of our videos, I really don't want to go into it, but one of our videos is just it's something that we've done. Bryony did most of it just on one of our products kind of thing. And I've started, I literally every second or third day I get a phone call from somewhere in Australia. I'll tell you, it's just our caravan, what we've done with our caravan electrically. And every second or third day I'm getting a phone call from somebody in another state asking me questions about what they can do with theirs, and I've really sort of walked into the marketing girl this morning and said I'm starting to feel like the expert in Australia on this field kind of thing, and I'm not the expert, but just obviously because it's out there in sort of as videos, and I really feel I need to leverage off that kind of thing. It's daily I'm getting phone calls from people in Sydney or Melbourne going, no one knows how to fix this, how do I fix it kind of thing. You've shown us what you've done with yours.
Yeah.
And I think you're talking about one of our Jayco videos, which so the storage solution was the one that we had like the 60,000 views on, and so that's nothing to do with what we do. We don't sell products, they're all products from Kmart and Bunnings and places like that. But what we did is when our views started to go up on that, and it's all organic, we haven't paid for any of those views whatsoever, we then took the advantage within Facebook to pin the video that Andrew's talking about that showcases what we actually do, which is the 12-volt stuff within those caravan. We pinned it to the top. We put it as our lead video, as our lead image. Mm-hmm. So that way people were watching the storage video, they might click through to our page, hopefully, likes have increased, but they can then see the 12-volt thing. So I think it's, you know, kind of that although the storage isn't what we do, just providing that extra bit of information hopefully is going to talk to someone that might possibly be in your market, I think.
And there's a point I want to pull out of that, and Andrew kind of said the words, is it positions you guys as the experts, whether you are or you're not. The perception is that you know more about it than anybody else, and so people will come to you.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
So speaking about being experts, if you look back over the last 8 years, what would you do differently if you could go back and have a do-over?
I'm a big believer if you come to where you are now because of the journey you've been on, I don't really like to have regrets or harp on anything that I would change.
I like it.
Yeah.
I
think the journey we've taken has got us where we are today. Yes, there's decisions that we've made that we probably could have made quicker, but you know what? We didn't, and that's totally cool with us or with me.
Yeah, even some of the ones I look back on and sort of, yeah, it's a thing of, well, I learned the lesson, so it was worth it. Even some of the decisions I feel I made, even probably not wrong because I've learned from them.
Such a good point. So question I like to ask everybody, guys, 1,000 tradies in a room, what's one piece of advice you would like to leave them with?
Go to uni. No.
Yeah, mine is show up when you promise you're going to show up. Sorry about the noisy car starting in the background. So some of the points of difference for us that we get told regularly is that you answered your phone, you showed up when you said you were going to show up, you're professional, so we all wear uniforms, we all, you know, look the same. We've got some basic scripts that if there's multiple people answering your phones, they all follow, so we sound professional and we sound the same. And for us, that in the early days is one of the biggest things because,
it's an auto workshop.
The way we are is that, you know, just take it a little bit seriously, be customers. But, yeah, show up, answer the phones would be my biggest thing.
I like it. How about you, Andrew?
I'm actually just quickly, because we're really technology, I'm just telling my guy to not start a target. For me, yeah, and I've just always tried to be a bit, try not to conform to that tradie thing. Like we've all, from the moment we had a workshop or a front counter, I've always sort of said I wanted a girl on the front counter, and I've always tried to steer away from that sort of where I came from workplace with, you know, everybody walking around with a cigarette in their mouth and their thumbs on kind of thing and swearing. And so for the trade for me is just try and clean up your act a bit, I guess, really, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Unless you're not an electrician, stay doing what you're doing.
Yeah, if you're not an electrician, everybody loves no shirts and smoking cigarettes and swearing out.
Well, thanks heaps for your time today, guys. I know you're very busy and got lots to get on with. I think it was good that we had the car sound effect in the background. Saves me dropping one in from the internet. Next thing for you guys, like what's next on the horizon after you win the award and you know, kick all these big goals? What are you doing next?
Don't know.
More of the same.
I'll become a business coach. I heard they make heaps.
We go into partnership, mate.
I think for us, goals for the business is around growth, managing the growth, technology, and work-life balance, getting time off with our family and kids and that sort of thing is probably our, you know, our main focus at the moment.
Mm.
I'll take that. That's true.
Yeah, what she said. Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, guys. If people want to find out more about you, what's the best place to go and do that?
Website, AMAE, so A for Apple, M for Mary, A for Apple, E for Egg, .net.au, or Facebook, / Accelerate Auto Electrics.
Nice. Go check them out. Go give them some more views on their videos, listeners, and help Andrew get back in the lead. All right. Thanks heaps, guys.
Thanks, Warwick. See ya.
So there you have it, Andrew and Bryony from Accelerate Auto Electrics on Queensland's beautiful Sunshine Coast. Great couple and great business that they've built, and it really has been a pleasure and sometimes a challenge, but don't tell them that, to work with them over the last couple of years. Great things from them happening, and some really cool stuff as well. Just on that, the video that they mentioned in there for their awards submission, Bryony has agreed that I can share a link to that in the show notes for today's episode. So if you go to tradiesbusinessshow.com, go to the website at tradiesbusinessshow.com, go to today's episode, and you will find a link or an embedded video that they put together for their submission for their business awards. It's bloody brilliant. I love it. It's fantastic work. So really, really proud of what those guys are doing. Now, something exciting that came across my desk recently was a product. I got approached by, basically a marketing company or a company that represents brands, telling me about this really cool product for tradespeople. And it's called Miracle Sandbags. I don't know if you've seen these things. I'd never heard of them before. But basically, they're a sandbag that you don't put sand in. And, you know, when there's flooding or a drain burst or a pipe burst, and they fill little Hessian bags up with sand and they stack them around to keep the water out. Well, these sandbags have no sand in them. They automatically inflate when they come into contact with water. Very, very cool. And I'm actually going to have the man behind these Miracle Sandbags on the show shortly. So keep an ear out for that interview. But we'll also be doing a bit of a promo on the Facebook page and via email. So keep your ears out for that. If you're working in the trades and you ever have trouble with water, drainage or getting into your building site or anything like that, or you'd just like to have some for next time we get some of these flooding rains here in Australia and your shed looks like filling up, keep an ear out for a bit of promotion that I'm going to do around these things. So Miracle Sandbags. Fascinating stuff. There's so many things out there we don't even realize, like video marketing. Anyway, hope you enjoyed today's episode. I'm getting a little hungry, so I'm going to go and have something to eat. Enjoy the rest of your day and your week, and I'll chat to you next time. Hooroo.
You've been listening to The Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.